Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Coleman Taylor Transmission, servicing Central Mississippi for over 60 years. Their ASE-certified technicians offer dependable transmission services, a warranty, and record services. Call Coleman Taylor today for all your transmission needs.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Thank you for tuning in on a Friday. Are you kidding me? It's Friday. You don't have to be yourself till Monday. I love it. Speaking of things you don't need to be and things you do need to eat, that's Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com, made right here in Mississippi. Come on, make it Mississippi, and visit mississippi.org. I'm telling you, there's a road trip awaiting you that you just won't believe. I am personally going to road trip to Dancing Rabbit and play some golf. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to try to conquer those beautiful golf courses. You know, the only reason I don't play well is, well, I don't practice anymore. That's FYI. But it's so beautiful there, you get distracted. I just want to have all the excuses I can because I'm in awe at God's land here in Mississippi and our Choctaw friends there. It's just amazing. Chief Ben, become a good friend, and all my friends over there. So I've been blessed to have really gotten to know the team over there. Matt, Ryan, shout out to you guys. All right, here we go. Wesley Smith, part 111, like I said, just to throw a little bit of oil on the fire. All the boards he served on, I mean, I'm just going to tell you a few of them. He's a former producer of the International Blues Challenge and Blues Awards, which tells a lot about this man. He loves his music. Bridging the Blues, Greenville Arts Council Executive Board. He's still serving on the E.E. Bass Foundation Executive Board. Mississippi Blues Foundation Board Member. Mississippi Delta Tourism Board. Served president 3 times. You're only supposed to serve once. I don't know what happened there. Mississippi Tourism Association Executive Board and President. The list goes on and on. He is our Executive Director for the Washington County Convention and Visitors Bureau, but he is truly one of Mississippi's most prolific this generation storytellers, and I love spending time with him on and off the air. But we're on the air now, and it feels the same. So, Wesley, welcome aboard, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Yesterday, we talked Benjamin Wright. We connected Quincy Jones to him, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Justin Timberlake, Mary J. Blige. The list went Michael Jackson. The list went on and on. Born in Greenville, Mississippi, went to Coleman High School. Insane, right?
That's right. Insane.
All right. Today, we're talking Big Mama, the Pelican, and Harold Jenkins. And let me just start this to quote Wesley. Oftentimes in this space, I write about the music of our region, and occasionally, I write about the great Mississippi River, which, folks out there, if you don't know, I've written a whole lot of songs inspired by that river. It changed my life. Trust me, it still to this day changes my life. Inspiration wise, like looking at a different painting every day, and thus the songs come out. So I can promise you that the Mississippi River played a huge impact on my career. Sometimes those stories overlap as they do today. All right, we're talking Big Mama, the Pelican, and Harold Jenkins. Wesley, what do we got?
All right, Steve. So in 1901, at the Iowa Iron Works in Dubuque, Iowa, work began on the Sprague. And the Sprague was the largest stern-wheel, steam-powered towboat in the world. Sprague was nicknamed Big Mama. She was so big. And it took 2 train loads of steel and 2 boxcars full of rivets to complete her. And once finished, the boat measured 318 feet long, which included her 40-foot stern wheel, and she was the first towboat that pushed instead of pulled her tow. And man, she was a sight to behold on the Mississippi River, as you can imagine.
Wow.
In 1907, she set a world record for the largest coal tow by pushing 60 loaded barges or the equivalent of 1,500 rail cars of coal. And she also held the oil towing record in the early part of the last century after pushing 19 barges carrying 11 million gallons of crude oil.
Can I ask a dumb question real quick?
Yeah.
Because I can't help it. Well, if you're pulling or pushing against the current, what would it matter?
Yeah. Well, if you're pushing, you're going to burn a lot more. You're going to run a lot more steam or burn a lot more diesel fuel, depending on what era you're in. You're fighting harder to go upstream, fighting that current.
But if you're pushing against the current or pulling against the current, wait a minute, pulling against the current. Now I'm getting confused. I'm just wondering why, to me, it would always rely on the current, which direction it's going. You know, just like when you're flying and you get a jet stream behind you, you know, or against you. Anyway, okay, well, that's just another story. You got me curious. Just keep rolling
we'll
on.
Get a marine engineer on.
That's what we need. We need a marine engineer.
That's right. Well, she had 2,079 horsepower, so she was an incredible workhorse. And the people of Greenville obviously remember the spray fondly because during the flood of 1927, she pushed barges carrying 20,000 refugees from the Delta south to the high ground in Vicksburg. And in World War II, she helped the war effort by transporting oil up and down the river, which would go overseas and help fuel our troops march across Europe. But her most useful days were behind her, though, even at World War II. And diesel-powered boats began to take over. Mm. Well, in 1948, she was decommissioned in Memphis and later sold for $1 by the Standard Oil Company to the city of Vicksburg. And she
pretty
served a
deal.
Number of roles.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
$1.
I don't know. Usually when you get a deal that good, it means you got a lot of cost associated coming in you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
She served a number of roles in Vicksburg over the years, moored downtown on the riverfront there, at times as a popular restaurant, a river museum, a refueling depot where you pull your boat in and get fuel, and even as a floating theater for Vicksburg's community theater group for a number of years. Well, as April 1927, when the flood happened, was one of her great triumphs, taking refugees to safety. That same month, 47 years later in 1974, would see the Sprague's long history finally come to an end in the same place. On the night of April 15th, 1974, a fire broke out on board, and she burned, leaving only her paddle wheel and the hull of the ship.
Oh, man.
And there she sat until the flood of 1979 on the Yazoo and Mississippi, and that sank her. That was the end of her. She sank in the diversionary canal there in Vicksburg. And ultimately, in 1981, I would have liked to have seen this, she was dynamited by the Corps of Engineers.
Underwater.
I think part of her was sticking up, and it was a hazard to other boats and work going on in the area.
So all of her.
Too big to pull up.
All of her spread over the.
Yes.
Vicksburg over the river?
I'm sure people are still finding remnants.
Wow.
The year after the spray began her illustrious service at the Iowa Iron Works. So she was built in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year, they began work at the Iowa Iron Works. They built another ship, and it was a transfer steamship. It was called the Pelican. And at 308 feet long, she was slightly shorter than the spray, but her service was no less impressive. As always, Steve, we're going to get around to the music.
Oh, I know it's coming.
Part right there. That's right. All right. So as a transfer steamship, and that term's probably not familiar to a lot of people, the Pelican was a kind of a specialized ship or boat. She was designed as a sidewheeler, and right down her middle, the length of the ship ran railroad tracks. And she had enough length and capacity to carry 16 railroad freight cars. Can you imagine that?
Wow. That's
and prior
too cool.
to the building
yeah.
of the railroad bridges across the Mississippi River, she ferried trains from one side of the Mississippi River to the other. It's funny, these things in our past, that as things have progressed and technology's better, you hear about something from the past that sounds impossible.
Where does you think about that? Where does the train cross the Mississippi? It doesn't cross the Mississippi River.
Prior to the bridge,
we don't have it. We don't have it, but we don't still have any, do we? Anywhere in Mississippi where a train crosses our river or in
Louisiana? Well, we do. We have railroad bridges up and down the river. But before that, that's when they used these transfer steamships. They would literally load the train cars onto it and ferry it across the river.
Well, I know that because we do have the tracks up there off the levee and all that. That's right. That's right. I'm just thinking, you know, because we live in a time where we just don't see it, right?
That's right.
The grass has grown over the tracks. It's just not something I'm used to anymore.
If you asked our parents or grandparents, they would go, "Oh yeah, we used to see that all the time, but it's not in our lifetime and not something you think about."
Yeah.
It's like your kids don't think about 8-track players. Let's talk catfish. Absolutely.
Superior catfish. There's catfish. There's superior catfish. Do the math. I'm just saying, why would you get it from anywhere else? Go to superiorcatfish.com. Produced right here in Mississippi. Visit Mississippi.org. As I say, it's not an afterthought. It's not in second place. It lives in my heart. And I love everything that they stand for at Visit Mississippi. Anyway, Steve Azar with Wesley Smith. We'll be right back.
But it's a hard road, baby, that we're traveling on down tonight. But it's a hard road, baby, that we're moving on down tonight.
Key Construct.
Steve Azar here. Thank you guys for tuning in on a Friday. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I hope you took off last night and said, "I'm not working on Friday. I'm drawing a line on the Friday sand. And I'm already doing something productive, hanging out with my family, planning a road trip, go to visit Mississippi.org. Trust me, I'm going to have catfish for lunch. That's Superior Catfish, made and produced here in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Wesley Smith is my guest today. Just love sitting in the room with him, sipping on whatever, from a Diet Coke to other things. We're both having a cup of coffee. And the stories, they all go down the same. All these dots he connects down to Mississippi and the music world, how it has been impacted by us and how it was forever changed and continues to be ever influenced by us. Wesley, we're talking Big Mama, the Pelican, and Harold Jenkins. We're talking two big, powerful boats.
We hadn't met Harold yet. He's coming. So we,
okay. All right, sorry,
we talked about the Sprague and its long service to the state and then to the country during World War II. And then unfortunately it burned and was blown up. That's kind of fun to say, but it was built in 1901, right, at the Iowa Iron Works in Dubuque. And then the next year they began work on the Pelican, which is the transfer steamship. So once the Pelican was ready to go, ready to sail downstream or steam downstream, in December of 1902, she steamed south to Vicksburg from Dubuque. And her job there in Vicksburg was ferrying trains between Vicksburg and Louisiana. And in 1907, she was joined by her sister ship, the Albatross, which is a terrible name for a ship, if you know your Samuel Taylor Coleridge. I guess I said that right. But in 1907, and for the next two decades until the railway bridge was built at Vicksburg in 1930, so here comes the railway bridge. For all of those years, they kept the trains running across the mighty Mississippi River, just going back and forth, picking up more and more train cars and ferrying them. Well, the Pelican, her next post, once the railroad bridge was built in 1930, they don't have a need for. So her next post was north of Vicksburg up to Helena, Arkansas. And Helena, for folks not super familiar, is a little north of Clarksdale and over to the river is Helena. So she gets to Helena and she's ferrying over 100 railroad cars daily for the Yazoo Mississippi Valley Railroad. And she continued this service for another 30 years or so. And then finally more bridges began to be built across the river. And eventually she outlived her usefulness and was stripped apart. Mm. But the captain of the Albatross, her sister ship in her early years when the Albatross came up to Helena was a man named Floyd Jenkins. And on September 1st, 1933, Floyd's wife, Velma, gave birth to a baby boy in Friars Point, Mississippi. And they named the baby Harold Lloyd Jenkins.
Here we go.
We're getting to Harold. And when Harold was 10 years old, the family left tiny Friars Point for the comparatively big city, the bright lights big city of Helena, Arkansas, which is about 17 miles north of Friars Point, just across the river. And the same year they moved to Helena, Harold started his first singing group known as the Phillips County Ramblers. And they became so popular that just 2 years later in 1947, they had their own show on the local radio station, KFFA. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about KFFA on here quite a bit. Harold wasn't the first young musician to be part of the incredible story of this radio station. KFFA went on the air in November of 1941, and less than a month had passed before the King Biscuit Time radio show premiered. The show featured musicians Sonny Boy Williamson, number two, and Robert Jr. Lockwood. Robert Jr., by the way, learned guitar directly from Robert Johnson. And the radio show was used as a promotional tool for King Biscuit brand flour. And the broadcast could be heard in much of the Mississippi and Arkansas Delta, and it became a calling card for other up-and-coming blues musicians to come to Helena. So Helena kind of becomes one of the early hubs for all these blues musicians.
Can I ask you something?
And little Harold Jenkins there, too. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the King Biscuit Blues, the Blues Festival, right? Was King mm-hmm. Biscuit the company flour involved in the beginning of all that? Was that how where the name came from?
That's where the name came from. Absolutely. So there's a blues society there. There's several blues societies across Mississippi. There's one based out of Indianola, but blues societies are worldwide, and they're basically a club of people who have an enthusiasm for blues music. Mm-hmm. This is generally who puts on festivals and things all over the world. They're called societies instead of clubs, because if you say blues club, you think of a nightclub or a bar.
Sure.
Right? In Helena, it's not King Biscuit. The King Biscuit Blues Festival is put on by the Sonny Boy Blues Society, named after Sonny Boy Williamson II. So there's a direct connection between the history of KFFA and that blues festival, for sure.
Let me just jump in and say that, you know, this radio station that was so influential on so many acts that we have talked about in the past, what's sad, so that doesn't happen anymore. You can't have these little Mississippi, Arkansas regional success, and then Alabama hears about it, and Kentucky and Louisiana and Missouri and, you know, surrounding states. And it starts to get this groundswell, starts to take off, you know, around the country, which is why talk radio is so important now in so many things. And was where streaming came along. And now you can go listen to what you want, when you want, how you want. But there was a time, like with KFFA, where they broke acts literally in a region. And then it caught fire around the country, and they become a regional hit. You could be successful and tour off of that, or you could become a national hit based off of that regional hit. And that's, you know, it was like getting a base hit in baseball. Then you go a little further. You're at second base, you're at third base, you bring it home. You could bring it all the way home at some point if you related it to baseball and the diamond. And I hate that part of it is gone now, because the radio market, their conglomerations are so large that they all play the same thing. And the program director that is deciding music for all the stations. So if somebody comes up with this great regional song, right, it doesn't mean it's ever going to get played in that area, because it's just not enough room on the playlist, and it's not how
it is. That's right. Anyway. I love that analogy. It was almost like a farm system for music.
Yeah.
You could have a regional hit, then perhaps it gets broken nationally.
And DJs live for breaking music. They'd find songs on side B that broke, you know?
Exactly. There are a lot of examples of that.
Yeah, there is no side B anymore, just FYI, folks. Anyway, so keep going.
All right, well, so talking about KFFA a little more, so young Harold Jenkins, you know, is playing on that show, but all this blues is going on the radio station, too, in person, live in the studio, right? They're playing live. So guitarist Jimmy Rogers from Ruble and little Walter Jacob from Marksville, Louisiana, were often hanging around outside KFFA. And, of course, they would go on to Chicago in the late 1940s to join Muddy Waters Band. And as a teenager, Steve, there was a young man from nearby Turkey Scratch, Arkansas, a little community pretty close to Helena, and he'd venture into Helena to watch the show being broadcast, and it would influence him to pursue music. His name was Levon Helm.
Come on.
And he would grow up to be the vocalist and drummer for The Band, one of the most influential rock groups in history. Of course, they were Bob Dylan's backup band for a while, and then put out their own music.
I got
Mike
chills.
Drove Old Dixie Down and Up on Cripple Creek and just some amazing, amazing hits.
I totally got chills. I do. I have chills right now.
I mean, can you see Levon just wandering up to eating up with music, you know?
Oh, man.
And where his career went.
They're multiplying, and I'm losing control. Okay, quit. All right.
That's right.
All right, so
I was just gonna say
The Band was a huge influence on so many, and just game changer. You know, game changer for so many. So as sure as Levon was influenced, they influenced the.
I think aren't we at a big anniversary of the last waltz, the Martin Scorsese concert film he did of The Band.
I don't know.
If you've never seen that, you need to go watch it. It was their last concert as the band was breaking up. And they have so many amazing special guests. Martin Scorsese film that put it out as a feature film. And the band kind of honored their home and their influences. The Staple Singers, Pop Staples is singing on there. He grew up around Drew and Dockery, learning from, you know, seeing Charlie Patton and Son House and all these guys play. Wow. Muddy Waters himself is on there. If you've never seen that, go see it. That's probably one of the most famous concert films ever.
Wesley, I can tell you this, and this is my magic of segueing into a break. Get ready. I can promise you that if they had Superior Catfish, they would have written even more hit songs. But
absolutely.
Superior Catfish wasn't around then, I would imagine. Wait, I don't know. We have to do a little research now. You know, I've screwed up a lot today talking about trains not over bridges and all that stuff. Like, come on, Steve, get with it. Trains are stretched clear across America. They made bridges for it. But with that said, SuperiorCatfish.com, homegrown right here in Mississippi. Levon Helm, you'd have loved it. Visit Mississippi.org. Oh, yeah, they know who Levon Helm is, just right over the bridge. That's what we're talking about. I'm Steve Azar with Wesley Smith, talking rivers, bridges, and music. We'll be right back. $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program, and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steve Azar here with my pal Wesley Smith, one of Mississippi's true storytellers. Not in the making anymore. He is made. It's official. I get to crown him this right now. And I'm going to just roll with it until somebody tries to take his crown off. And I don't think it's going to happen. We just got through talking about a little Turkey Scratch, Arkansas. Before we get talking about the band and the inspiration that Levon Helm had on the music world, we're going to talk about our catfish down here in Mississippi. Why would you get it anywhere else? Produced right here. You know how great it's going to be. SuperiorCatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. It's a road trip. You know, it's a cliche now, but I think I've branded this cliche. We are the birthplace of America's music. I didn't do that. But I promise you that Mississippi and Visit Mississippi .org really celebrates our arts and music. And they've done such a wonderful job, which has helped our economy push forward with one of our greatest resources, and that's the arts. Okay, Wesley Smith is my guest today. Like I said, we're talking Wesley, Big Mama, the Pelican, and Harold Jenkins. We're into Harold Jenkins now, and we're rolling now. Let's keep rolling.
All right, so all of that's going on. There are all these musicians in and out of KFFA and inspiring people like Levon Helm, and young Harold Jenkins was there too. He was a little bit younger at that point, but as he gets a little bit older, he continues to sing. And instead of doing kind of country, he hears Elvis Presley's version of Mystery Train on Sun, which was recorded on Sun Records in 1955. And he's hit that right age. And of course, rock and roll is coming on the scene. It's mesmerizing. And his own music sort of veered into rock and roll. And by the way, Mystery Train was a remake of an earlier Sun record written and performed by Junior Parker. And Junior Parker was from Bobo, Mississippi, which is right outside Clarksdale. And Bobo, the town of Bobo, where Junior Parker was from, and Harold Jenkins' birthplace of Friars Point, coincidentally, are just 19 miles apart up there in Coahoma County, or Coahoma the Blues, as our friends in Clarksdale say. Well, little Harold Jenkins formed a band called the Rockhausers and eventually made it to Memphis to record with Sam Phillips at Sun Records, although none of those recordings were ever released. And in 1957, Harold had a manager named Don Seat, and Seat suggested to him that the name Harold Jenkins was too generic to stand out in the music world, and advised the singer to take a stage name. Hmm. And in trying to come up with a name, Jenkins he pulls out a U.S. map and decided to take the names of two towns as his stage name. He selected Twitty, Texas, and Conway, Arkansas. And thus, Harold Jenkins became Conway Twitty.
Woo!
How about that?
I got you.
Well, in 1958, he released a song on MGM called I'll Try, and the song went nowhere. But DJs began to play the flip side, as you just mentioned, Steve.
There you go.
The flip side was a song called It's Only Make-Believe. Monster hit. Conway Twitty's career took off. Incidentally, Steve, It's Only Make-Believe, it's that song, as I was learning about music when I heard it, that's where I learned about modulation.
Yeah.
Because they go up an octave on that, and it grabs your attention in that song. Well, the song went to number one in 1958 and ultimately sold over 4 million copies, and Conway became a rock star. Hmm. Well, his heart, though, was with the country music, and by the mid-60s, he had completely reoriented back to country, and that's where he would build one of the greatest careers in music history.
Can we talk
in 1990,
about, real quick, can I say something? Well, I want to just say this. You think about the times back then, and you see probably the most modern rock star that's come out of country is, would you say, Chris Stapleton? Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Like Willie did it. So some of these acts transcend because of their personality, and you just don't know what connects musically with every single type of music connoisseur, right? And all these different genres. I mean, you could be listening to Metallica, and all of a sudden you hear Chris Stapleton in this day and age, and you're going like, man, I love that guy. That's what happens, right? Because it's authentic. It's just authentic.
Right.
And Conway Twitty was authentic. He just sort of crossed all these genres because it just sort of worked with everybody. You can't really put your finger on it of why, but somebody comes along every once in a while and is a game changer for the masses.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Ends up on all different kinds of charts.
Exactly.
You may say, well, if I have to peg it, it's country, but it ends up, you know, it can end up being an R&B chart hit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, and Stapleton's a great example. Tennessee Whiskey was on every chart, and it maybe didn't go to number one, and that has more to do with, as you said earlier, the way radio and all that is set up now. But it was a hit with every genre of music's fans. You know?
Yeah. So amazing. Anyway, it just brings up that point for me and really hits home.
Absolutely. Well, so by the 60s, 1960s, he had turned back to his roots with country music, and he just built a huge career. By 1990, Conway Twitty had scored 55 number one hits, which was a record unmatched until 2007 when it was broken by George Strait.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, that tells you right there. It took somebody of George Strait's stature to get close and break the record.
Wesley, it's so hard to have a number one record because things have to align. So I don't want to get into all the detail because I want to finish talking about what we're talking about. But the truth is, in my era, when we were really chasing the charts for those 15 years, whatever, 20 years, well, 15 years. The bottom line is that it's sort of like you're preparing yourself, you're into the top five, and you're going to make that run to number one. And you're getting all these stations to load up the spins as much as you can. And you have to sort of predict when the magic week's going to be. So to have 55 number ones, it's like winning 55 Super Bowls in a way, right?
Right.
I mean, it's insane.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
And they did it.
And George Strait's done
it. Steve, and it's not just you put the music out and catches fire. You got to work it. You got to work the radio stations, work, you know, constantly PR campaign, public face, not public face to make it all go.
I can bet you on every one of those number one records, Conway had to call a number of radio stations just to say hello. Thank you for playing my record. We're pushing for number one. Really appreciate some extra love. I bet every single time.
Oh, yeah. And in those days where radio is not so consolidated, he's showing up at the radio station.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of on air in that local market. Well, well, these are those early days in Friars Point, Mississippi, and then Helena, Arkansas helped create a country music legend. And of course, it did not hurt that he was surrounded by others whose music would be no less legendary. So from that little time and place in Helena, Sonny Boy Williamson II, Robert Jr. Lockwood, Little Walter Jacobs, and Jimmy Rogers are all in the Blues Hall of Fame. And young Levon Helm, who would walk from Turkey Scratch or hitch a ride into Helena to see the band, the musicians come in and out of the radio station. Levon is a member of the band, was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994. And young Harold Conway Twitty Jenkins, son of a Mississippi River steamboat captain, would be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1999. That's a lot of musical magic over there between Friars Point and Helena, Arkansas.
I'm just in awe. I mean, like, you know, that you talk about that river and just you cross over it and look what happens, you know, pretty amazing. Let's take a quick break. I'm with my pal, Wesley Smith. We're talking Big Mama, the Pelican, and Harold Jenkins. And as you know now, Harold Jenkins, Conway Twitty. Oh, yeah, that's the stage name and the forever name that we know. Just not too far, grew up not too far away from where we're talking, Wesley. Pretty amazing. Speaking of catfish, it's not too far away. Made and produced right here in Mississippi. Why would you get it from, as I say, Taiwan? I mean, you know, it makes no sense. I don't understand it. Get it right here. It's passing all sorts of wonderful regulations that you need to pass, and it is phenomenal. Check it out, SuperiorCatfish.com, my pals over there in Macon, Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. We've celebrated it once again. You can't run from Mississippi, and it's ours. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar with Wesley Smith.
Mississippi. Mississippi.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guarantee Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Fox on Tech.
The U.S. could be closer to banning the TikTok app, the popular but addictive and maybe even manipulative app delivering short videos in rapid succession to the palm of your hand, is the target of a bill already passed by the U.S. House of Representatives that could see the app banned if its China-based parent company called ByteDance doesn't agree to sell it to a U.S. company. TikTok's critics call it a security risk, that it can influence bad behavior in children, and that it mines user data all in the service of China's Communist Party. And today, the FBI and intelligence officials will hold a closed-door classified briefing for members of the Senate who seem less enthusiastic for a ban. While the public won't know the specifics, the briefing is focusing on national security. Should the Senate pass the bill President Biden says he'd sign it, China calls the potential ban an act of bullying. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Hey, folks, I'm Steve Azar with Wesley Smith, my dear friend down here in the Mississippi Delta, one of Mississippi's prophetic, prolific, very cool storytellers. And I'm getting to be in the front row with you guys today, and I appreciate him joining me for the 116th time. I'm making that number up, but it's a lot of them. But it's never enough, as I say. Speaking of never enough, I can never get enough of Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. There's catfish, and guess what? There's Superior Catfish. Do the math. Oh, yeah. And visit Mississippi.org. So many glorious things that await you and that you will be so proud of our Mississippi. As today's guest and I, we know that the stories he tells and that he, with such exhilarance and energy and love, and the songs that I've written over my career, if it wasn't for growing up here, we're a blank page of nothing. That's how much we feel like we've owed to this wonderful state of Mississippi. So pat it on the back and be proud of where you're from. I can tell you I'm grateful. And I know, Wesley, you're grateful.
I'm always grateful. I love my Mississippi.
It's such a great place. Come on. I mean, you know, for folks that haven't traveled the world or left for a while and came back, there's something about coming back that you go, trust me, that you go, man. And Wesley, you left for a little while.
I left for about 20 years.
So we both were gone for 20 years, both of us.
Yeah.
That's just long enough to lose your mind.
Yeah. It'll make you appreciate coming back. It really does. It's a special place.
Wow. Yeah, it really is. Since you've been back and you sort of your, you know, how things have evolved for you, growing up to now, do you use yesterday and a lot of the elements that were surrounding you, that were happening to you, that you just couldn't put your finger on because maybe you just, you know, it was passing you by, but yet it influenced you. And still to this day, you sort of draw upon it.
I do. Yeah, I do that all the time, especially kind of these stories I tell you. A lot of them come from little just tidbits of things I picked up in my youth or experienced myself. When we talked about, I told you growing up, my friends and I used to, just like Billy Joe McAllister, we used to jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge before I'd ever heard that song. You know, we spent a lot of summer days jumping off the bridge and swimming to the bank and starting over. And I think we've talked about that song on here. But yeah, I mean, of course, that's probably true anywhere, but it seems like it's a little more special here that all these things get sort of woven into your life and you don't forget them, those inspirations in your youth. And if you'll let them, they'll blossom into other things, you know?
Yeah. And it never leaves you. It's always there, even no matter how far you leave home. Coming back home is a special thing though. It, a lot of people come back home for a lot of different reasons. But a lot of times you're just sort of, it's uncertain why you do. You know, sometimes people are running back or running from something, right?
Right.
Home's the most secure place you think you can find. But with that said, I think when people allow themselves the time to go off and do things and then make their way back, their appreciation for it, it's unparalleled. I mean, it's pretty special. I mean, when I came back, we were half the size, basically. Okay, I can say that. But yet there was triple the inspiration. I can't explain it, you know, and maybe I was just able to tap into the inspiration better from all the tutoring and mentoring I had as a songwriter in Nashville. I know I was more prepared to write about these things, but the inspiration was still there growing up. I guess I didn't have the know-how to articulate. I felt it, but I wasn't able to put it down in song yet like I needed to. And I'm still on.
And sometimes you have to step away from something to really appreciate it or see it from a new angle or perspective. You know, a lot of the people that fascinate me most in this state are people who were born here and left and came back, because I do think they see Mississippi from a different point of view. I'm not saying that's superior at all. But it helps, you know, when you're doing anything, it's better to have all different perspectives. And I do feel like my perspective of Mississippi is different than it would have been if I had never left, if that makes sense.
I know you and I love sharing our love for Mississippi, and we watch the light turn on in folks that have never been here, right? When the light turns on, it's the coolest thing in the world to watch them all of a sudden go, I just didn't know. I just, and I'm going like, well, yeah, I mean, like what they're told and what they've read or whatever depends on what side of the tracks or fence or road of politics you heard from. Right. So much of it is just, we're so misled and misunderstood until you come here and it are embraced by us, which you will be embraced by us. Just give us 1 second. We're going to embrace you. Right.
That's right.
We can't wait to tell our story. We just can't wait. Anyway, let's talk about a little catfish. Let's talk about a little catfish and send you packing right now. My friends here at Superior Catfish, homegrown, produced right here. Go, you know, there is Superior, and then there's Superior Catfish. I mean, I'm just saying, you got to check my friends out. They're made right and produced right here in Mississippi, Macon, Mississippi, that is. Great, great, great folks over there. Have a wonderful tradition, and they do it the right way. And visit Mississippi.org. Wesley Smith and I have celebrated it. Till we're blue in the face. We're blues in the face. Wesley, you're my man. I appreciate you so much.
I always appreciate being on. Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.